physical food in the food pantry, right? But now he's going to provide a spiritual food here. So he's not only providing physical, he's going to provide a spiritual. So I'll delay. We're going to call on Reverend God will just lead us into our time and just bring forth God's word this morning.
I love the Lord so much. Because he saved me from destroying me. I didn't keep myself. He did. And young people, I'm 79. Getting ready to leave. You want a friend? Find God. You want a father? Find God. You want a brother? Find God. You want a provider? Find God. He has kept me from totally destroying myself. In 1975, as a businessman doing very good in Jamaica, things has changed drastically with the government. I went to church. I said, I'm going to leave. They said, no. You're a first-class citizen here in Jamaica. When you come to the United States, you're going to be a second-class citizen. So I went to the Lord and say, you give me the green light to leave my business place. I'd own restaurants and stores. I say, give me the green light to go. And whatever you say, that I will do. I went to my mom. I said, Mom, things change. I have to go. The church says to me, no, don't go, because you're going to be plummeted way down. My mom says to me, son, you always make the right decisions. Whatever you feel the Lord put in your heart to do, do. I say, Mom, I'm leaving. Well, cut the story short, I end up in the United States. And as the church said, I end up less than what I was in Jamaica. I used to wear custom jewelry, custom shirt, custom garments. Everything was custom made. When I came to the United States, I saw a shop at the thrift store. The government says you can't work. So I find a way to get around that. I start writing songs and sell them, of which I have some published. Some of you saw the song. But that's not what I want to talk about this morning. I left Jamaica, and I say I've been involved in the church so long, I'm not going to be doing any church work here. I'm going to enjoy my young life all over again. So in Florida, I landed with some other Jamaican friends. They took me to different places, and in the dance hall, the bar, wherever they went, and they say, order whatever you want to order, because these people are doing very good. I sat around the bar stool, they ordered their liquor, I ordered a Pepsi. They said, who are you? Well, while I was in the dance hall, you have a person there with me, and while they were enjoying themselves, this person with me would not let me enjoy myself. And this person was God himself, the Holy Spirit. Because God says, I will never leave you. And while I was there, they are dancing, they're having fun, drinking their liquor and thing. I'm looking up at the ceiling because for some unknown reason, I have it in my mind that the beams may break and fall on my head and kill me. So these guys says, who are you? When they want me to do what they wanted me to do, and the other person with me say, you can't, which is God. They say, who are you? Because every time you come around us, we have bad luck. They said, who are you? So I revealed to them, I said, I'm a born again Christian. They said, man, you shouldn't be here with us. You need to be in the church. We don't want you here. So they tossed me. So I end up getting back to my church because God commanded me to do so. And this is why I say, young people, you don't know God unless you seek to know him. Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And when you're following the Lord, others may forsake you, but he will not. If you read the story of Jacob, Isaac, all these patriarchs of the Bible, you see, they went out and did all kind of different stuff, but God was there. And this morning, Pastor Gary says to me, Reverend Minot, I want you to speak on giving thanks for all things. And I heard Gloria's testimony a while ago. And this verse has puzzled me for years, although I've been preaching since I was 23 years old. Now I'm 79. It puzzles me. Because in her situation, I say, how can somebody give thanks for that? But when you know God and know who you are and what he has done for us, you realize in every situation, you can say, thank you, Lord. Amen. This morning, before I go on, I want you to meet some people who have been working with me in the pantry. When God says, put in my heart to open the food pantry, I said to myself the first few days, I mentioned to Pastor Gary, I said, Gary, we are getting all this food We give out XYZ amount on Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, we gather more food, and by Thursday they all have to go in the trash can. I said, we have to find a way to get rid of it or get it to the people. I said, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We are going to try to give it out on Sunday morning. I expect him to say, no, we're not going to do that. But he was right there with me. He said, let us try that. And I look at myself in the winter, standing out there in the front of the church in the cold, and I said to myself, Guy, you're an idiot. You stand out here in this cold and everybody in there rejoicing and what have you, and then you have to lift all these boxes and what have you and put them back in the room and what have you. I say, Guy, you're stupid. But you see, when God calls you to do certain things, to you, it is silly, but to him, it is wisdom. He said the foolishness of God is wiser than men. From the pantry today, we have souls coming into the church. We have people who never comes to churches coming to this church and other churches. We have saved people from the pantry. And more than all, we have people who get up out of their beds 4 a.m. in the morning. I'm calling them. And I say, I need to go and pick up some goods. And they say, my truck is available. My car is available. Just give me a call, Pastor, when you're ready. And this morning, I would like you to meet one of this person who is here with us, worshiping with us today, that goes with us sometime in the mornings up to 7-Eleven to bring the food. James, can you please stand? That's one of the men. With his truck going up to 7-Eleven. Sylvia, are you here? And Jerry? Sylvia? Sylvia and Jerry. These are people, a matter of fact, Sylvia and Jerry, she's a librarian for Willingburg. Jerry has his job. And they sometimes 3, 4 times, 5 times a week bring in food to the food pantry from Casco and all different places. These people supply us. That's our suppliers. And I don't want to start calling names from the congregation because I don't want to miss out on anyone's name or didn't call anyone's name and they quit on me. So I'm going to stop right there. We have a whole group of congregational people here that work almost 24/7 with me. Everybody say, Guy, you're doing a good job. No, a lot of these people are doing an excellent job that God put in their heart to do with me. I could not do it all by myself. God put it in these people's heart to do his business. I don't know when he's going to call me home. I see a lot of people who I serviced in this church for over 40 odd years are leaving. They are going home. I don't know when my day will come. But one thing I know, whenever it comes, my Father will pilot me home. This morning, Pastor Gary says to me, I want you to speak and in all things give thanks, of which you hear Gloria, powerful testimony about what happens in her life. And she's still praising God. We learn that God is always seeking to punish us That is not true. God says he finds no pleasure in the sinner dying and go to hell. He has no pleasure in that. So this morning, I have a lot of scriptures. I'm not going to go through all the scriptures. I'm going to just touch and go because, you know, as a preacher, I can preach for 3-4 hours. I can do that. I have enough to say. I'm going to make sure that it is short and you can understand that you learn to love your God and appreciate who he is to you. I don't want you to be afraid of God. I want you to love God. I want you to cherish God. I want you to understand who God is and what is his purpose for you and me. In the beginning, we go to Genesis chapter 1. That's where I'm going to start this morning. Genesis chapter 1. It says in Genesis, God look, and it says in the beginning, God. And I could stop right there. In the beginning, God. There were no you. There were no none of your friends or anything else but God. And God commanded everything to come forth just by speaking. But when he get to Genesis chapter 1, he made everything and he said it was good. And then when it came to bring man forth, he had a conference. He had a conference with the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He had that conference. You know, in Bible college, when I went there, I enjoyed studying 3 subjects. I enjoy Christology, which is a study of Christ's life. I enjoy theology, which is a study of God. And I enjoy homilet, that is preaching. So God says in his conference with the Godhead, he said, let us make man. That's what he says. He said, let us make man. Remember what he says? Let the fish comes forth, the birds come forth, this come forth, that comes forth, and everything just by word. But when it came to man, he said, I'm going to spend some time making man because I'm going to make them in our own image. So anyone look at you and think less of you, please don't give them a chance to do so, because you are made in the image of Almighty God and you are beautiful. Amen. He said, let us make man in our own image. You can read that in Genesis chapter 2. So he made us. And when he made us, he says, we were good. So who's going to tell you that you're bad? If God say you're good, who are on earth can tell you that you are bad? Don't believe that. Because the Almighty God made you and say you're good. In his image. Not only that, but as a loving father, as a loving creator, as a loving everything that you and I should need, he made us a garden. He provided everything for you and I. And he says to you and I in Genesis chapter 2, you will see in Genesis chapter 2, it's in the bulletin. I'm not going to read it for you because it would take up all day if I read it for you. He says in Genesis chapter 2, he put the man in the garden that he had made for you. And if you look in Genesis, he says, I give you everything that you would possibly need to exist. All you have to do is till the ground. No, all you have to do is just maintain it. That's what he says. It's yours. And not only that, everything that he made you head of it. He said, you are responsible. They are subject to you. Everything that is there belongs to you. You can do whatever you want to do with it. But one thing you do not eat from the tree of good and evil. The tree of life was there. You could eat as much as you want from the tree of life. That's what he says. What you and I did when we went into the garden, we have a person by the name of Satan in chapter 3 of Genesis. They say he was cunning, Mr. Deceiver. So he came in Genesis chapter 3 and he said to Eve, you heard what God says. He says if you eat of that tree, you're going to die. And Miss Eve add to the word of God and says to him, God says we should not touch it. Now there's a lot of theologian who says, oh, we're not there to know what God said or what he didn't say. I am going back to Genesis chapter 2 where God gave the special commandment to him, where God says, if you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. He did not say anything about touching it. So she took the fruit, she gave it to her husband. Mr. Adam, to please his wife, he disobeyed God's word. So what he did, his wife said, eat. He took and he ate. Now, my brother, I forget to put that mic on because I move around. Now, what happens is that Adam, who used to communicate daily with God and is God's friend, all of a sudden, Adam went and started to hide from God. Have you ever had any experience of being a Christian? And when you are in sin, you don't want to go to church. You don't want any visit from any church members. You don't want to hear the message because you're in your sin and you're trying to hide. Mr. Adam says to God when God came looking for him for his regular fellowship with him, Adam, where art thou? You'll find that in Genesis chapter 3. Adam, where art thou? Adam says, I heard your voice in the garden. And you know what happens, God? I am going to be playing hide and seek with you. I'm hiding. This is what we do. We try to hide. I'm paraphrasing what's going on here. He said, I'm hiding. What are you hiding for? Did you eat of the tree that I told you not to eat of? Oh, God, I'm going to tell you something, God. If you did not give me that woman, I would never eat of that fruit from the tree. You see what we do, junker people? We like to pass the buck. We're looking for everyone to blame why we can't serve God. Yeah, you know, I've won hundreds of souls. Talking to people, bringing them to the Lord. And some of the frivolous excuse that they give to me. Oh, the church just want my money. Wait, stop a minute. I just said to you in Genesis chapter 1 that it says, in the beginning, God. So what money did you have to give to God? Oh, they just want my time. You see, we passed the buck. God went to the woman and he says, what have you done? She said, let me tell you something, God. I want you to understand this, God. If you didn't make that serpent, I wouldn't eat that fruit. And she's passed it on the blame. Adam blamed the wife blamed God. And say, all this is happening, God, because of the situation that you put me in. You forget the situation that God put you in, Adam, and Eve was a perfect situation where you have everything to your comfort that you could eat and drink and be merry for the rest of your life and live forever and hallelujah with peace serving God. But you did not. And you cannot pass the buck. This is why it says, in all things give thanks. Because if God didn't start you with everything right, you would not have anything, because you're going to see in Genesis where God says to Adam, thus you are and thus you shall return. So please remember this. When you said I have a PhD, I have all the money in the bank, I own everything that I can own, I am this and that, don't forget who you are. You are dust. This is why Jesus says, without me, you are what? Nothing. That's why he said what he said. I'm pointing out to you why you and I need to say thanks to God. Because one thing you need to look out for is that when you, your forefather Adam, was in his sin, he ran away from God. But God ran to him. God came looking for him. And God kept his appointment, because God is a God of faithfulness. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God, he's a father of the fatherless. He's a mother to the motherless. And when you have your sins and it's all gone, everything gone around you, God is there to pick you up. That's what he does. This is why every time I come up to preach and I remember who God is, I weep. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, as I told the church, you don't know me. And when I preach, I told people you don't know me. When God came back for me in 1968. I got saved at 8. And when I got to 17, my grandfather couldn't control me anymore. I leave the church. I stay out for nearly 7 years till I was 23 years old. God came back for me. And when he came for me, I was in a group of people, about 10 of us, around a table with our guns in the middle of the table. My drugs were in the middle of the table. My 100-proof white rum was there. My Charlie's was there. My Guinness Stout was there. And that was going to be my Sunday feast. But this young man came for me. God sent him for me to bring me to a crusade and have me surrender to him in 1968, and I've never looked back apart from when I went into Florida and tried to be a fool, going away from God. So God said to Adam, thus you are going to return. Now that I pointed out to you what we have done, why we should give thanks to God, I want you to turn with me, please, to John 3:16. Very familiar verse to everyone. It says, "For God so loved the world." God love you. God love me. He loved the prostitute. He loved the murderer. He loved the homosexual. He loved everyone that exists. He loved the racist. He loved everyone that exists. And because he loved us, he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent his son to come and die for us. He sent all these people that we rejected, God loved us. And he sent his son to die for the world. Do you understand the word the world?
Yes.
What do? We said to ourselves, I can love so and so, but I can't love so and so. Well, I tell you something. God loves everyone, but he does not love sin. That's why Jesus came. Because man would have to pay for his sin. And man does not have the ability to pay for his sin. So God himself has to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you and for me. And I'm here this morning to tell you, it doesn't matter what your sin may be. God knows everything about you.
Yes.
He knows everything about me. He understands everything about you. He understands everything about me. But in all of the situation that we are in or may be in, God loves you.
Yes.
And he loves me. So it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But not only that, he did. If you go in Revelation chapter 1, reading verses 1 through 6, when you get to verse 6, it says, God, who sent his son to wash us in his blood, and what he did, he made us prince, and he made us kings and priests. So you know who you are? We are kings and priests. And if we are kings of priests, he didn't say he may, he will. He has done it. That's who you are. He made us into prince, our priests, and kings. And you may see yourself sitting here today, going through all the problems that you're going through. But I tell you, as far as God is concerned, you're in heavenly places, sitting in Christ Jesus. That's where God sees you. This is why your salvation is secure. You cannot keep yourself. I can't keep myself because I'm prone to wander. That's who I am. So God, in his infinite wisdom, his infinite mercy, his grace, his love, has kept you, and he has kept me if you know him as your personal savior. He says, I'll keep you. I'll be with you to the end of the world. That's what he says he's going to do. So you know what you need to do? And I need to do? We need to love him. We don't need to be afraid of him. Because he's not around to arm you. He's around to protect you. You see, when you wake up in the morning and you're not feeling well, before you complain that you're not feeling well, the first thing that you should say, thank you, Lord, I'm breathing. Yes. Because if you see you're not breathing, you won't know how you're feeling. When you don't have any money in your bank account, you can say, thank you, Lord, I'm still breathing. You know, when they told me I have cancer, everyone starts crying and says, oh, I'm so sorry for you. I said, don't sorry for me. I said, what I need you to do is to pray that God's will be done. Because my brothers and my sisters, my friends, my enemies, this is why I asked Rosemary to play that song, The Goodness of God. You see me pulling up my pants, Natalie and my son-in-law, Rick and Natalie, they went and they bought me a belt for $89. Well, Natalie, the belt broke this morning. Coming to church, well-dressed, have a belt on, and all of a sudden when I stopped to put an extra hole in the belt, the buckle went that way and the belt went that way. Now, if I was in Jamaica, you know what I would do? Just put a string around and tie it. But what I'm trying to point out to you, my dear brothers and sisters, is that we have the wrong idea about God. And the idea that we should have about God is that he's a loving father. You know, I have four children. And what happens is that Judy and I, thank God for my beautiful wife that God has given to me for 40 odd years. Because I did some real crazy stuff in my ministry. I took her into North Philly, preaching with the three kids. And when I came out back from North Philly in the evening, Sunday evening, from the church, I saw the hood of my car raised, and I went and put the key inside the car to start it. And there was no Ignition, nothing. So I went back, I said, Judy, the car's not starting. She said, I know. So I lift the hood and look in the car. The place where the battery should be is a space. There were no battery in the car. They took the battery out. They stole my battery. And I'm in North Philly in the middle of the night on a Sunday evening. And I'm saying to myself, how on earth am I going to get my wife and my kids them home? And God sent somebody and said, brother, I have off dead battery. Let me try it, see if it works in your car. So I put it in the car started. I said, thank you, goodbye. Ran out of North Philly. And then while I was doing business in Philadelphia, I know she's still with me. She didn't divorce me yet. She's still here. In North Philadelphia, coming from work in Philadelphia, I saw a man coming up 295, walking in his suit. So I said, about 10 below zero. I said, why on earth is he walking? So I stop. I pick him up. And this is a true story. I said, sir, why are you walking? He said, my car broke down. So while he's talking, I'm witnessing to him. And so where do you want to go? He said, I have nowhere to go. Where are you from? Virginia. I said, I can't leave this guy out here in the cold. So I'm taking him home. She's in her bed sleeping. So when I brought him in the house, I said, what is your job? He said, I'm a thief. I said, run that by me again. He said, I'm a thief. So I walked to the bedroom. I said, Judy, and this is not, I'm not making up this stuff. I said, Judy, I have a man in there going to sleep on the couch, but he's a thief. I don't know what was going on in her mind, but she must be saying, Lord, I marry a crazy man. Anyhow, he slept. I witnessed to him about the Lord. He didn't rob me, thank God. And the morning woke up making breakfast and dropped him somewhere at the bus station. I've never seen him again, and thank God. I don't know if he accepted the Lord or not. These are some crazy things I've done during my ministry. And in the mornings, during this food pantry, sometime I leave the house at 4 a.m. in the morning. I don't return until 7. I got to make her a breakfast before I go anyhow. Make her a breakfast and she'll be fine. But I'm sure when God chose you to do certain things, he gave you a partner also who will tolerate your silliness. Because sometimes God asks you to do some things and you say to yourself, what is he talking about? But you win soul. Paul said, I became all things that I may win some. And if you go all over Jamaica, New York, and other places, you'll hear people testifying that I've led them to the Lord. But the Lord used me. And one of the time, when I was very down in this church, when this church rallied around me and lift me up, was when I was at work and my sister called me from North Carolina and she said, Guy, what are you doing? I said, I'm here working. She said, you better sit down. I said, why? Obviously, I did not see my mom for over 6 years. I planned to go down and visit her in April of the same year. 1981. She said, sit down. I said, why? She said, Mom just got murdered. Somebody break in her house and gave her 12 bullets. And she's dead. I went to pieces. And I remember walking down 295. I'm showing you, in everything, give God thanks. Walking down, leave my car, walking aimlessly down 295. And when I came back, I think she was pregnant with Cassandra. I saw her at the gate shoveling the snow, pregnant. And she looked at me and she says to me, "You better straighten up." Straight in my face, she said that. "You better straighten up. We have 3 children to raise." And that spun me around. And Pastor Wilson at the time from this church came over to my house. And he says to me, "Guy," he looked straight in my eyes. And he saw the evil in my eyes. "Because unknown to anyone, I plan to go back to Jamaica and take out every one of those guys. I don't care if they take my life. You took my mom, I'm coming for you. I reveal it only to my brother in Philadelphia." And he says, "Don't be a fool, she's already dead. Don't go down there and do anything stupid," he says to me. And Pastor Wilson hugged me and he said, "Guy, we love you." And somehow, by the strength of this church and the love and the comfort that I found in my brothers here, John Delp, Joyce Delp, and the rest of them, I was able to go to Jamaica, preach at my mom's funeral, came back, pick up my cross, start following the Lord, and thank God. Thank God I didn't do anything stupid. So in everything, don't matter what's going on in your life or in my life, you can again say thanks to God, because God is always in control. Amen. I don't understand it. You don't understand it. But I know who understands it. God does. You know, my brothers and sisters, Paul says, in all things, we should give thanks. I sat and listened to Gloria's testimony. And while she was talking, I was weeping. I say, how can we afford to stand all these pains that the adversary threw upon us? Because I know each individual here has their own burden. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says, take up your cross and follow me. The bottom line, my brothers and sisters, is this, that when Jesus was coming, or when he came, he said, "I brought to you as your legacy peace." And when he was leaving, he says, "I give unto you peace." So the peace that he gave unto you, he said, "Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." You, some people has peace when their bank account is filled. Some people has peace when they're having perfect health. Some people has peace when their children is doing good. Some people have peace when they are famous. But we have peace in every situation because our peacemaker is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That's our peace. He went to the cross. They spat in his face. They beat him. They did everything that is repulsive to him. But he has one thing on his mind. Going to that cross, he has you. He had me. He had every human being that exists in this world. He had them in his mind. And the only thing that he could find to say about you and I, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they have done. We have peace. So you can give thanks for all things. Don't get up and say, I'm feeling pain. Get up and say, thank you, Lord. I can walk. Thank you, Lord. I can see. Thank you, Lord. I have food. Thank you, Lord. I have a shelter over my head. Thank you, Lord. I'm still breathing. And my brothers and sisters, as I promise you, I won't be long. Because the person who leads you and the person who is in control is here today. And his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, I'm going to be with you to the end of the world. And he says, when you were without strength, he died for you. When you were in the deepest sin, the deepest agony, when you were in the pit toilet, he says, I came down, leave paradise, and I came down in the pit toilet to take you out and to set you on my Father's side, sitting with me in glory. And one day, I'm going to come for you. So hallelujah. Give him thanks and praise for what he has done for you. I don't want to bend too far. The pants will come off. But my friends, none of you want to see that. Rick and Nat, you better go get me another belt. The bottom line that I'm saying to you, my friends, trust the Lord. A lot of things going on around us that we don't like. Young people, make sure if you're going to get married, if you're going to a job, you're going to a college, whatever you want to do in life, consult God first. Because one thing I know, he will never lead you wrong. He's a peacemaker. He sees everything. He knows everything. He understands everything. And he says his only intention is to have good coming by you 24/7. God bless you. And enjoy your day.
Amen. Amen. In everything, do what? Give thanks. One thing, Reverend God, for the word that you just share with us this afternoon. We ought to give thanks when things doesn't seem right, right? We ought to give thanks because we own nothing. God provides everything for us. And we ought to give thanks because if God can give the greatest gift ever, his son, to save us, it requires thanksgiving every day in our lives. Well, thank you, Reverend God, for that. We'll call on our praise team to just lead us into just one line of song, and then we close and look forward to be coming back next Sunday as we fellowship again. Thanksgiving, we're just going to keep praising God the entire month. Amen?
Amen.
Praise team, just one line, and
us. We're just going to sing and know we are Christians by our love. We're just going to start, do the first verse and the last verse, verse number one.
We thank God for the peace we enjoy. We thank God even for the election that was held on Tuesday. And as a church, no matter how it ended, we are one.
Amen.
Amen. We praise God. We glorify God. We honor God. Despite the results, despite what's happening, we still trust God as a church. And we can be the church that the outsider will see and glorify God because of how we stand. Let us pray. Eternal, gracious, everlasting Father, we thank you this afternoon. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity that we can yet come and be a praise unto you. Lord, as we go through this month of Thanksgiving, help us, oh God, to be thankful, to recognize, oh God, it's because of you, oh God, that we have testimony to share. And we thank you for all that you've done and continue to do, oh God. We even thank you for Gloria Meekins, that wonderful and powerful testimony that she shared with us. They prove that we serve a true and a living God. We just thank you for Reverend God as he brought forth your word. We say be glorified. Bless our week, bless our days, our hours, our meaning, and our seconds. We say be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.